You can take this chapter in Joshua chapter 3, and as you study this chapter, you can look at so many things that you can preach out of this one chapter. You look at verse number 4, where it talks about you followed the Ark of the Covenant because you've not been this way before. You could preach on that all day long. Verse number 5, where the Bible, where he said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow I'm going to do wonders among you. You can preach on that, but out of verse number 17, Lord touched my heart there, and he said, the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And we all know the story of what's happened here. We see the people, and God said it's time to go over Jordan. You see, these people should have been over there already. 40 years ago, they should have crossed over, but they listened to some people who gave a bad report. They listened to the testimony of 10 who said, we can't take them. We can't take these people because we're like grasshoppers in their eyes. We don't trust the Lord who said he'd give us this land, he'd give us this country. We're going to stay over here. And for 40 years, they stayed on that side of Jordan. For 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness because they didn't have faith in the Lord their God. And God said, all right, because of your disbelief, because of your lack of faith, this generation is not going to see the other side. This generation is going to pass away. And finally, that day came when the last one of that generation passed on, and God told Joshua, it's time to go over now. It's time to cross Jordan, and it's time to take that land which I promised you. But I want you to notice something about these people. These people had been in the wilderness 40 years. These people had been out there. They had experienced the hand of God, but not in the way that they're fixing to see. They had taken of the manna that God had sent down every day. They had drunk the water out of the rock. Their clothes had not rotted from their body. Their shoes had expanded and grown with them as they had grown. They had experienced the hand of God, but they experienced it every day. It was something that to them had become commonplace. They griped about it, and they fussed about the provision that God had given them. But God told them, tomorrow, I'm going to do wonders among you. Tomorrow, you're going to see something like you've never seen before. And these people were preparing themselves to see something from God. And you know what the Bible says? Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow I'm going to do wonders among you. We want to see wonders, don't we? We want to see the hand of God working, but are we willing to sanctify ourselves? Amen. Are we willing to make ourselves ready to prepare ourselves to see the wonders of God, Amen. To have the hand of God work among us? But the Bible said here that they prepared themselves. They made themselves ready for God to work among them. And if we look at that verse and we look at that phrase, stood firm on dry ground, we see here that that phrase has two parts. It said, stood firm on dry ground. Now, I want to look at that first part, stood firm. You know what? For them to stand firm, for them, for those priests to take up the ark, to step foot in the Jordan River and to go out and stand in the midst. You know what? It took something from them. It took some faith out of them to obey the Lord their God. You see, they was fixing to do something that nobody ever asked them to do before. It took some faith for them to go out there and step foot in the Jordan. It took some faith for them to go out there and stand in the middle when all that water was heaped up behind them. It took some faith for them to go out there and obey God. You know what? That's what it takes for us. You want to see the hand of God working? It's going to take some faith. It's going to take somebody believing that God will do exactly what he said he'd do. And that's what they did. It took some faith, and by faith, they obeyed God. Now, I want you to picture this. Those priests took up the ark. God said, as soon as you see the ark of the covenant of your Lord God, when you see it pass before you, then you pack up and you follow that ark. Well, when they picked up that ark, he said, as soon as the sole of that priest's foot, as soon as it touched that water, he said that water from above was halted, that water from below, it went away, and there was dry ground right there. Those priests obeyed the Lord, and there was a condition there that had to be met, wasn't there? If those priests didn't obey, that water wasn't going to be parted, was it? You see, God gave them a condition. He gave them a choice. And that was their decision to make whether they were going to obey God or not. It was their choice. And we see this first part. standing firm. That was the work of man. Yes, they did it through the power of God. Yes, they did it in the will of God and through faith in God, but it was their choice to do it. It was their decision to obey or not. It was their decision to have faith in God. You see, 40 years ago, it was their decision back then, and they made the wrong decision. Here we see another chance for them to have a decision to obey God, for them to have a decision to go over there and take the promised land. And we see they made the right decision this time. We see that they put their foot in Jordan, and immediately that water was separated. Immediately their faith was rewarded because they did what they were supposed to do. They obeyed the Lord through faith. But you know something? Men, as we look at this, as we look at those men that stood, as we look at those men that took up that ark, I want you to look at the position that God put them in. Whenever he said it stood firm stood firm on dry ground, the Bible says in the midst of Jordan. You know what? At the beginning he said, you go put your foot, you stand at the brink and stand still. But he said, when you put your foot in the Jordan, when that water is separated, I want you to go stand out there in the middle. You stand in the midst. You stand out there and you stay still. You stand firm where I put you. I want you to know something about these priests. As you read about this and as you look, those priests went to the middle. Those priests went all the way out and they stayed in the position that God put them. They stayed firm in the place that God set them in. Would to God that we could get that in our heads, that we stay where God puts us. We do what God has for us to do and we quit looking around and see what God's doing with somebody else and say, I wish I could do what that guy's doing. I wish I could be used how God's using that man, and let God use us in the position that he puts us. These people right here, these Pharisees, I mean not Pharisees, these priests, they took that ark and said they stood still. They stood firm right in the place that God told them to be. He said, you go out there and you stand in the middle of Jordan. You stand out there until all the people are crossed over. And they stood in that place until the last foot stepped on the other side. They stood in their place until God told them it was time to move. You know what? I've been in a position where I've moved when God didn't tell me to move. I've been in a position where I didn't move when God told me to. The best place that you can ever be, that you can serve God, the place that God's going to bless you, is to be in the place that God puts you. Amen. The place that God will use you is where he wants you, and that's where you better stay. Amen. You know, I've seen it, I've felt it, I've done it. I've seen where God has used somebody else, and in my heart, in my soul, I thought, man, I want what that guy's got. I want God to use me like that. And I've tried to force myself into that position. I've tried to make myself be used of God the way he was using that guy. And you know what? It never works. Amen. The only thing that it turns out to be is a mess. And that's exactly what happens. If you try to put yourself in a position that God doesn't put you in, you're out of the will of God. Amen. You know, there's people that are doing all kinds of great works for God. There's people that does good things for God, and men look upon them and they think, man, look how God is blessing them. Man, look at the work they're doing. But you know what? If God didn't put that person there, I don't care how good a work that is, he's out of the will of God. Amen. We got people all over the place. When a missionary comes along, we got people that'll listen to that and say, you know what? I think I'm going to go to China. And that's a good desire to have, but if God doesn't want you to go to China, you don't need to be going there. But we've got people out of position in the house of God because they want something what somebody else has. We see here that the priests here stayed firm in that place. They stayed in the position that God put them in. But I want you to look at something else. They stayed in that position, but they were stayed firm, standing out there bearing the burden that God gave them. They bore that ark. They had that ark, and they carried it on their shoulders, and they stayed in that place bearing the burden that God gave them. You know what? There's a lot of times we say, you know what? The burden that I'm bearing, the burden that I'm carrying is too heavy for me. I can't carry it. The burden that I have upon me is too great. I can't handle it. You know what the Bible says? He said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Most of the time when we find ourselves under a heavy burden, most of the times when we find ourselves bearing something that we can't handle, It's the burden that we've placed upon ourselves. It's not a burden that God gave us. It's the burden that we're packing around. It's the burden of sin that we're in. It's the burden of guilt and regret of sin that we committed long ago. You know, the Bible says that God's not going to remember those no more. He's chosen not to remember. But we pack around that guilt. We pack around that regret. And it's just like a burden to us. And we say, Lord, I can't handle the burden of the sin that I committed. You know what he says? What sin are you talking about? I don't remember that anymore. And we pack that around, it becomes a burden to us. But any of these people went out, and they didn't take nothing with them, did they? The only thing they had with them was the ark. They didn't pack their stuff with them. They didn't pack their household and carry that out in the middle of Jordan. The only thing they carried out there was the burden that God told them. Said, you take the Ark of the Covenant with you. If we learn to live and pack the burden that only God gives us and cast our cares upon Him, God knows what we need. God knows what we have need of. He knows we need food. He knows we need clothing. He knows we need a job. If we just learn to cast our cares upon Him and bear the burden that He gives us, you know what? We're going to be in a place where God can bless us. We're going to be in a place where God can use us when we put those burdens that we pack around and put on the burden that God gives us, because His burden is light. But I want you to look at something else. They stood firm out there in the middle of Jordan because God told them to stand still. He said, you stand still out there in Jordan. You don't move. You don't wander away. You don't do anything, but you stand still. There's something about standing still when you think about it, when you've got that burden upon you, when you're in a position and God tells you, and He says, you stand still. It's a hard thing for us to stand still sometimes. You know what? There's something they didn't do. They didn't waver a bit. They knew what the command of God was. They knew what God had told them to do, and there wasn't no doubt in their mind what to do. Sometimes we get into shape, God tells us what to do, but we start thinking, we start doubting, we start questioning God, and all of a sudden, we, instead of standing firm on what God's told us to do, standing in a position, all of a sudden we start to waver. We start to wonder, is this really what God wants me to do? Surely this ain't it. Is this really where God wants me to be? And we start wavering, and before you know it, we're not standing in the place God told us to. We're not standing still. These men took the ark. They bore that burden in that place, and they stood still. They didn't waver. They knew exactly what the will of God was, and they did what God told them without wavering. There was no wavering in them. You know what? There's something else. They didn't wander either. They didn't wander away. You know, they're standing out there in the middle of that river. They're standing out there in that dry riverbed. They could have said, you know what, that tree over there, that shade, man, that sure looks good. Maybe I'll go over there where it's a little bit cooler. Maybe I'll go over there where it's not so hot. You know, how many people do we know now are going out there where it's a little bit cooler? They're going to a church where it's not so hot. I know people, you know people, and we know all kinds of churches that are getting to a place where it's not so hot. They're getting to a place, instead of being where God told them to be, instead of being founded on the word of truth, preaching the word of truth, and standing on the word of truth, they're saying it's too hot here. We're going to wander over here, and we're going to find a place where it's a little bit cooler. We're going to find a place where it's a little bit easier for us to deal with. We're going to go over here where it's not so hard. You see, they didn't waver from their belief of what God told them to do, and they didn't wander from the position that God put them in. But there's something else. They didn't weaken. They did not weaken. They stayed in that place. They bore their burden until the last one crossed over. Now, I didn't research. I don't know how many people were in Israel at this time. But I'd say there was a lot, and it took a while to get all those people across that river. It took a while for everybody to go from one side to the other. But those men bore the Ark of the Covenant, and they stayed in that one place until the last foot set foot on the other side, until the last one got over. You see, they didn't weaken at all. You know what? We've got some people, we've got churches, and we've got pastors that are weakening every day. You know what? What struck me about this verse, what struck me about this phrase, is there's things that I see that alarm me. You know, there's things that I've seen that through the last, especially the last 10 years, that concern me about people that I used to know. You know, I've seen pastors that when I was a kid I looked up to, that I thought, you know, they stand on the word of God. They'll never leave that place. They're always going to stand. They're always going to be where God puts them. But I've seen those pastors weaken. I've seen those pastors succumb to the will of the people that have grown apostate, that have gone to a backslidden state, and I've seen them weaken their stance, lower their standard to placate and pacify those people. I've seen those pastors grow weak because they're trying to keep their church. I've seen pastors that I've looked up to that I thought there's no way, but you know what? I've seen families that I thought there's no way in this world would they ever dress the way they're dressing. I've seen families that I thought there's no way that they'd ever let their children listen to the music they're listening to now. That they would let their children go to the places they're going now. They would ever allow their families to get in this position. But I've watched those families fall and weaken. I've watched them move away from the position that God has put them in and go over there where it's a little bit cooler. Go to a place where it's a little bit easier to deal with. I've watched them get to a church where instead of the pastor preaches to them and tells them their sin is wrong, I've seen them go to a place where they know the pastor is going to tell them that everything's all right. That their sin they're living in is not that big a deal. They can live however they want just as long as they love the Lord. See, I've seen people that I never thought in my life would ever do that. That's exactly where they're at today. They're in a place like that. Why? Because they got to a place where they got weak. They got to a place where they got tired. And instead of standing firm, instead of staying in the place that God put them on, bearing that burden, they laid it down. And they went somewhere else. You see, these men stayed out there. I'm concerned tonight about pastors in this country. I'm concerned tonight about evangelists, about missionaries who weaken and water down their sermons, who want just so they can get into church after church to get support. And you see it all the time. They say, we can't preach hard. We can't preach the word of truth because nobody will have us at the church. That's sorry, but you see it all the time. I see pastors getting weak because their people get tired of the pastors telling them about sin. They say, we don't want to hear it no more. So the pastor either decides, well, I'm either going to have to leave or I'm going to have to get soft. And more we see him getting soft. You know what? I'm concerned about families in our churches. It's not just families out here in the world. I'm concerned about the families in our churches. But you know what I'm concerned about tonight the most? I'm concerned about me because I could be next. I'm concerned about my family because we could be out there just like they are. If I don't guard myself, if I don't watch my flesh, and if I don't keep myself under control, if I don't read the Word of God and let God have His way in me, you'll be talking about me just like we talk about them. You'll be saying, you know what, Curtis Crabtree, he used to be preaching in the jails. He used to be faithful to church every Sunday. He used to be there every Wednesday night, but we haven't seen him in years. We don't know where he's at. We don't know what he's doing. We've heard all kinds of rumors. We've heard all kinds of things he's doing, but we sure haven't seen him around the house of God lately. You see, I'm concerned about myself because I can be in that place. I'm concerned about you tonight. Every one of you. Every morning, I pray for each one of you. I don't pray for each one of you individually, but I pray for this church. I pray that God will put a hedge around this church. I pray that God will keep you, sanctify you to do His will and to stand on the ground. Stand on the Word of God. I'm concerned about our man of God tonight. I'm concerned that he could be next. You say, Brother Massengale? Not him. Oh, yeah, he could. You see, he's a man just like it. And if he don't watch himself, if he don't guard himself, he can be next. I'm concerned about our pastor. You know what? When all this stuff up in Hammond happened, when that pastor up there ran off with that young girl and all that stuff happened up there, I called my pastor and I left a voicemail and I said, guard yourself. Watch for yourself. And I told him, I'm praying for you that God would put a hedge around you because the devil would like nothing better than to take him down just like he did up there and take his church down, because that would be another feather in the devil's cap. That'd be another trophy on his mantle shelf. The devil would like nothing better than to take the man of God of this church and take him down. You see, I'm concerned about our pastor. I'm concerned about our church. But I'm telling you one thing. I'm concerned, but I'm not discouraged. You see, I'm going to still serve God. I'm still going to preach the Word of God. I'm still going to do what God had me do. You see, I'm alarmed tonight about things I see, but I'm not overwhelmed by it. Because this verse here, there's something about this verse. There's a second part to it. You see, this verse doesn't just stop there that when they stood firm. There's a second part of this verse that keeps me doing the first part of it. There's a second part of this verse that encourages me to keep doing the first part. He said they stood firm on dry ground. It's the dry ground that keeps me standing firm. It's the dry ground that encourages me to do what God told me to do. You see that dry ground? That they stood firm on dry ground. That standing firm was their choice. It was their decision. God gave them a condition. He gave them the opportunity, but they're the one that had to take it. It was their work. But that dry ground, that's all God. Man had nothing to do with it. Man couldn't do anything about it. They could have put those priests out there and they couldn't have held that water back. They could have put a million priests out there and they couldn't have held that water back. But God said, because your faithfulness, because your obedience, you went out here, you put that foot in that water, and because you did that, you got some dry ground now. He honored His word. He gave the provision because they obeyed Him. You see, I can go on, I can stand firm on dry ground because He provides it. It's not me. It's up to me whether I go out there and preach. It's up to me whether I live for Him. But He's the one that provides the blessing. He's the one that gave that dry ground. You know what? There's something we see about that dry ground. There's something we see in it. Those men, those people out there, they had never seen nothing like that. They had never seen anything from God like that. You know what He did? He proved Himself to them. He went out there and He said, all right, you obeyed me. You were faithful. You did what I said. Here's what I'm going to do. And He held that water back. And you know what? I can picture it right now. I don't think that water just held back real easy. I don't think that water had to drain off down here and the sun had to dry that ground out. I think as soon as that first priest touched that water, it was whoosh. I think that water was up here, that water was down there, and that was dry right there. That was dry ground right there. They didn't have to wait for nothing to dry. You know what happened? When those people went across, there wasn't nobody had to wipe their shoes on the other side. Wasn't no little kid had to be cleaned off because he fell in the mud. No horse, no oxen, no cart got stuck in the mud and the mire out there because he walked across on the dry ground that God provided. You see, them standing in the middle was their choice. It was their condition. And they meant that, and God said, fine. All right, it's about time somebody obeys me. Now look what I can do. You obeyed me. You went across. Here's my provision. Here's what I can do. He fulfilled the promise. He honored His word when they put their foot in that dry in the River Jordan. We see the provision of God. We see that He made a way. Did you know what tonight? That dry ground that He promises me, it may not be the same for you as it is for me. You know what the dry ground is for me? One day, when I get to heaven, I want a mansion, but that's not my dry ground. I want rewards. I want as many crowns as I can get so I can lay them back at Jesus' feet. But that's not my dry ground. My dry ground today is that when I stand before my God and He looks at me, and He says, Curtis Crabtree, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, that's my dry ground. I can do everything I can that the Lord wants me to do. I can go every night and preach if He wants me to. I can go, I can do, I can say whatever, because there's going to come a day, I pray that when I stand before God, He'll say, well done. Thou good and faithful. That's my dry ground. That's what I look for. Not everything that God has to offer. Oh, I want it. I look for it. I'm looking for that day. But I want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, there's something for everybody in here. That dry ground, it may not be the same for you because the position He put you in is not going to be the same. Not everybody's going to stand and preach. But you know what? Not everybody is going to do what you do either. Not everybody has the same calling. God has a different calling for every one of us, and we need to learn to be in that place, to stay in that place until God moves us somewhere else. But then He has a blessing for us. He has a place where He will provide a place where we can stand firm. He will provide a place where we can stand still. And it's not in the muck and the mire of this world because He took me out of that. He set my feet on a solid rock. What's a solid rock? It's a dry place. It's dry ground. It's not mud. It's not the mire of this world. It's not the filth. He put me in a church where I can hear some preaching. He put me in service where I can do do something for him. He put me on dry ground. You see, this is the place where I've chosen to be, but he made it for me. He told me to be here. He put me in this place. It's up to me whether I obey him or not. It's up to me whether I do what he tells me to do. But let me tell you, when you obey him, when you're faithful to him, when you put yourself in that place where he's told you to be, there's a blessing from God that nobody else can give you. There's a peace from God. There's nothing like being in the will of God. There's nothing like knowing this is where God... You know what? I have lived most of my life not knowing where God wanted me to be, for sure. Being in a place where I knew I wasn't supposed to be, but not knowing exactly where God wanted me to be. You know what? We've been here a little over a year. In that year, I've known where God wants me to be. In that year, I've been in the place where I know for a fact that I'm in a position that God has put me in. And guess what? I have every intent. I have every intention of staying right here in this place until God says, all right, I want you to do this. If he never does, guess what? I'm as thrilled to death as I can be. I'm fine being in this place. I'm fine being on this dry ground that God has provided for me. I'm ready to go whenever he says go. But believe me, if he says stay here for the rest of my days, I'm as happy as I can be. You see these priests out there? They had no idea how long it was going to take for them to go over. They didn't know how long it was going to take for the Hebrews to pass over on their side. But we never once hear them complain. We never once see where they got tired and said they bore that burden and they stood firm. We need some people to stand firm. We need some people that'll stand firm here in this church. We need some families that's going to stand firm. We need some preachers that's going to stand firm. We need to get around our man of God and we need to lift him up in prayer every day. That God would put a hedge around him. That God would put a hedge around this church. Amen. You see, the Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, what day are we waiting for to approach? If we don't see that day approaching, it's never going to come. We see that day approaching as big as day. You see, that day is coming. And we need to exhort one another because those people that we thought would never fall, they're falling tonight. Those preachers we thought would stand on the Word of God forever, they're not standing on it anymore. Those churches we thought were going to be lighthouses, that light's been put out tonight. And it can happen here. It can happen in this place, and it can happen to you. We've got to make that decision that these Hebrews made. We've got to make that decision that we're going to pick up a burden that God puts on us, and we're going to go out there, and we're going to stand firm where God tells us. And we're going to stand on the place that he provides. Yes. We're going to stand on that dry ground. Let me ask you tonight, are you exactly where you want to be? You know, I think about those people that have left this church. Some of them I don't know. Some of them I do. And I think about those people that have left church. And I pray to God that God will bring them back. But what about those people that are here in this church that are on the brink? Yes. That are not out there in the middle of Jordan, but they're just kind of hanging around the edge. They could go either way. What about those people? You see, that's who we need to worry about tonight. We need to pray for them. Amen. We need to make sure that we lift them up to God every day in prayer. But we need to lift each other up. Amen. We need to exhort each other so much the more as you see the day approaching. Yes. You see these Hebrews? They went and they took that land. But it was their choice to make. When they made that choice, and when God saw their faithfulness, that's when he provided that dry ground. He didn't make that dry ground before and say, there it is, now you decide whether you want to go. It wasn't until that priest put his foot in the water. Then he provided what they needed. God's going to have to see some faithfulness out of you. God's going to have to see that you're sincere about serving him. And then once he sees that you're going to be obedient, guess what? He's going to open the doors. He's going to part the waters. He's going to use you in ways. I'm telling you what, I'm standing for you a living testimony. Because I guarantee you, 15 years ago, if somebody told me I'd be preaching the Word of God, I told you, you're crazy. I said, there's no way in this world. I don't want no part of it. You see, God can use you in ways that you never thought about. Those Hebrew children, those things that they experienced in the wilderness, they just took for granted. But they had never seen nothing like what they had seen there at the river. You go out there and obey God, I guarantee you, you can see something that like you've never seen before. You can see the hand of God work in your life. You can see the power of God move for you. But you've got to make that choice. You've got to obey the Lord. I'm going to ask you to do something tonight. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Grubbs. I want to ask you to make it a special matter of prayer, to lift our pastor up in prayer. The devil is on the attack like he's never been before. The devil wants to take him down. The devil wants to take this church down. Every day, every time you think about your pastor, lift him up in prayer that the Lord would protect him, that the Lord would strengthen his resolve to keep himself away from situations that he ought not be in. It's an easy thing for the devil to snare you, to entrap you into situations that just you don't even realize how you got there. Let's pray for our pastor tonight, and let's pray for each other. Pray for our church.